Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
What happened over the weekend? Tell us about this drone attack at this Saudi oil field.
Well, we can't even say if it was a drone attack yet. There are multiple accounts and multiple different versions. What we do know is that in the early hours of Saturday, an enormous series of explosions in perhaps, you know, the world's most critical spot for oil production basically rocked a major facility run by Saudi oil giant Aramco. The attacks were claimed by a group in Yemen called the Houthis, who are rebels there who have been locked in a long-standing, close to half a decade war with the Saudis and their allies in the region. And the Houthis said that they send drones in to attack this spot. The next day, though, the United States, and then following that later on, the Saudis, were insisting that it wasn't exactly a Houthi strike. It displayed sophistication and for other signs of it being a strike from Iran, which is a country, of course, very much in the crosshairs right now of our geopolitics, but also a country that backs the Houthis in the war in Yemen. So now we have this very complicated scenario where we don't know. The U.S. is not convinced that they were drone strikes. They think they were perhaps cruise missile strikes. And so we're still waiting to get a clearer picture. The Saudis and the U.S. are pretty confident in blaming Iran. Countries elsewhere, from Europe to China to Russia, and other sort of regional actors, are being more circumspect about pinning blame on any one particular country or faction at this present moment. Some people sort of are going ahead and believing that it was the Houthis. Others are suggesting that the attack originated from a base in Iraq manned by a pro-Iranian militia. So as you can see, we're just really now tangled up in the messy geopolitics of the Middle East, which have only gotten more messy in the years during the Trump administration.
The Houthis and the Saudis have been punching and counterpunching for quite some time now. Is it, though, the worst-case scenario that this was, in fact, Iran? And if it was Iran, then what's our next move?
Well, it's a very complicated and loaded question. If it is determined confidently by the Trump administration and the Saudis that there's clear evidence that the Iranians ordered a strike and carried out this strike directly, you would imagine that they would want to take punitive measures. What those are, it's hard to tell. Trump is not eager to get entangled in a military conflict with the Iranians, as he's made clear over the summer, but he's also already deployed a lot of the other tools of pressure that he has in his toolkit on the Iranians. They're right now slapped with really sweeping, asphyxiating sanctions on the Iranian economy. There's sanctions targeting various organs of the Iranian regime. And so Trump's move for maneuvering is not particularly great. It's also compounded by the fact that on the international stage, the U.S. and Saudi Arabia don't have as much credibility as they may have had in the past. It's a complicated political set piece as well. You're not going to get very much joy in the UN Security Council from the Russians and Chinese, and you may also trigger an incredibly heated debate in Washington over Trump's ability to act in the first place. Why does the United States need to react on behalf of Saudi Arabia?
Absolutely, I'm interested in the answer to that question, and I know that the president, you know, he barks loud, but his bite isn't very big, which, frankly, I'm okay with, although I don't see the point in barking so loudly then. He tweeted over the weekend, Saudi Arabia oil supply was attacked. There is reason to believe that we know the culprit and are locked and loaded depending on verification. But we're waiting to hear from the kingdom as to who they believe was the cause of this attack and under what terms we would proceed. So two points about that. One is the president makes it sound, and it only makes it sound, like, boy, oh boy, we, the United States, are going to hit back hard. And number two, it makes it sound like we're getting our marching orders from a very corrupt, and some people would say despicable, Saudi kingdom. So what's that all about, for crying out loud?
And the optics of it are very strange. And you know, of course, this is not the first time President Trump has issued very bellicose threats toward Iran on Twitter. He's climbed down in the past. It's you could read it as the president just trying to say something about, because he actually took quite some time to react to the strike. The strike was in the early hours of Saturday morning. His tweet came out on Sunday evening. There's a lot of, there's been, prior to all this, there was a lot of speculation about Trump meeting the Iranian president, Hassan Rouhani, next week at the UN General Assembly. And so there was speculation over the weekend that Trump, you know, far from threatening retaliatory action, was trying to keep the door open for some sort of some sort of meeting with the Iranians. That looks far more unlikely now. And whether this is just a question of the president talking tough and perhaps not biting, you know, his bark being louder than his bite, that very well could be the case. But there will be pressure in Washington from the more establishment hawkish wing of the Republican Party to be tough on Iran, to respond against this kind of assault, not just on the Saudis, but on, you know, the overall global economy.
Well, Sean, I sometimes I like to say 1 to 100. 100 is absolutely, we are going to fire missiles into Iran. Zero is we're not. Sean, where do you think we are on that continuum of a direct U.S. military response to this?
Well, with my deeply uneducated guess, I hesitate to ever. I would say it's somewhere around 30 to 40. There is off the optics of the situation suggest that, you know, Trump wants to, and, you know, the fact that he got so close to striking the Iranians earlier this summer and had, you know, people like Bolton and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo really walking him down the path toward concerted action against Iranian targets that would have killed Iranian soldiers or perhaps even civilians, we don't know, suggests that, you know, maybe it would be harder for him this time to back down from that. But all we're hearing right now is that within the administration, certainly in the Pentagon, there are voices of restraint. This is, of course, not an attack on the U.S. directly. This is an attack on a Saudi position.
Yep.
And especially as
5 or 6% of the oil. It's 5 or 6% of the oil's petroleum production, correct?
Right. So what it seems to have taken out, at least for the time being, some half of Saudi Arabia's daily output, which is roughly sort of 5.7 million barrels a year. That, I think their overall output, the Saudis contribute something like 10% of oil in the global economy.
Right.
So it's 5%. Obviously, there are ways to offset those losses in the short to medium term by tapping into other reserves, and so it may not be as destabilizing as people have made it out to be in the long run.
Yeah, everybody take a breath. Sean Theroux's piece in the Washington Post, along with Adam Taylor, who writes in the Foreign Affairs Department on these subjects, are both online and in print today. Sean Theroux is a foreign affairs reporter at the Washington Post. I'm out of time, Sean, but well done. We'll call you again. I appreciate your expertise today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.